Evening, we will start in Proverbs chapter 18. In the past many weeks, we have been going through these chapters before that, and the common thread that we see is all about wisdom. And one of the words that really reminds me is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, it all comes from putting God first in our lives and fearing Him and living for Him, and that'll set us apart being holy and wise, setting us apart from being foolish. So in Proverbs 18, we see a similar thread between wisdom and folly. So in verse 1, we read, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." So here's a person who is insisting to have his own way. He's even willing to break with his friends and companions. And he thinks that his way is the best way. So he's rebelling against a sound judgment of people together. So when you have one person making his or her own choice, likelihood is that they may fail. So it's like separating themselves and advancing one's notion for their own personal or self-glorification. So we see a picture of someone who's foolish. And when they do that, they're raging against wise judgment. In verse 2, we read, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." In a lot of the times, a foolish nature is all about talking too much. They don't want to listen. They would rather keep talking. But we know that more can be learned when we listen rather than talking. But a fool is always delighting to showing his or her own opinion and always trying to force it on someone else, not be willing to listen. So a fool might pretend to understand and listen to correction, but a lot of the times they don't do that. There's no true delight in listening and to correct oneself. So all they do, if they do anything, is to please their own friends. Verse 3, we read, "When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach." We see wickedness creeping into everyday lives, including worship time. And we see God is not happy. Contempt comes from God and from his people. And when you have foolishness, it brings forth shame. Foolishness brings forth wickedness. And wickedness brings forth shame. So the wicked people, in a way, they make themselves look despicable and they bring reproach on themselves and all around them. So that is the sad picture of those who are trying to be wise, but in their own folly, they bring wickedness and dishonor and reproach. Verse number 4, we read, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook." We see a contrast here. A wise man has great treasure in him or her. You know, they like to say profitable words when asked. So this is like a picture of a deep water, which doesn't make much noise, but it never runs dry. So we see that picture here, a flowing brook. So what flows from a wise man is words that are natural, which are coming with ease, which brings freedom and fluency. It's also clean and fresh, as we see in the picture of a brook. It brings cleansing. It brings refreshing. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11, we read, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." So from the mouth of the righteous, you know, it is a well of life. It brings forth a lot of refreshment. Brings forth profitable conversations. James chapter 3 and verse 17, we read, "But the wisdom that is above, from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So that is the wisdom that comes from above. So here in this picture, we see the uncertainty of human speech. You can either speak profitable words or you can speak words that bring contempt from other people. So true wisdom brings words that are profitable, that brings freedom, that brings ease to the listeners. Verse number 5, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Kind of goes with Proverbs 17 and verse 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, they both are like an abomination to the Lord. We have covered this in the past class that, you know, both brings condemnation, both brings abomination from the Lord. So we cannot pervert justice. And we see this picture of those who are in places of authority, and they may try to pervert justice. They may turn their eye from immoral acts. They may not be doing it themselves, but rather keeping quiet to those that they see who are doing immoral acts or unethical acts. By doing that, they become guilty like those who are actually doing it. So these are all offense to God, wrong to mankind, and one that appeases Satan. So we have to be careful that we don't show partiality. We have to stand with the righteous, and we cannot justify the wicked. We cannot condemn the just. So all of these are wrong. So righteous works has to be supported and has to be practiced. Verse number 6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. You know, here we see someone who is foolish can say things without even thinking. You know, they speak too fast before they even know it. And that can cause really bad consequences. It can provoke a beating. It can provoke unhealthy dialogues. It can provoke people from walking away from you. So our words are so important as we talk. You know, a foolish person's words versus a righteous person, we see that both has effects. Now we have to choose how we want to talk and what kind of words are we planning to speak. Does it bring forth healthy conversations? Does it glorify the God? Or is it bringing contention? As we read here, a fool's lips will enter into contention. And verse 7 also is a kind of similar thought. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So here we see a foolish mouth is a trap. It can trap him for life. When we try to advance foolish notions, we know quarrels begin. But we know that a wise man, even if he enters a quarrel against his own will, he is able to recover and come out of that. But a foolish can enter by choice, but it might be too late for them to correct themselves. And a lot of the times, the fools are not willing to be corrected. So a fool's mouth will lead to his or her own destruction. So we have to be mindful of what kind of words are we speaking. Are we speaking wholesome words, or are we speaking words that bring destruction? The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Here we see, like also in Proverbs 12 and verse 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. So a talebearer is one who is bringing slander. The word trifle is more like a Jewish delicacy of a choice food. So those people who secretly go from house to house, they carry stories. They may not have truth in it. They pretend to be painful. They pretend to be identifying with those who are in pain, but they bring so much of strife. It is more like poison that goes down. So the conscience is wounded. So the words of a talebearer might be looking sweet, but they go down into the inmost body like poison. Verse number 9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So here we see laziness is a brother. It brings forth uncomfortable account to God for the talents that are entrusted with. So we have to be mindful of a wise person ought to be keeping busy, cannot be slothful. If you do that, you're bringing destruction. You're not wisely using the talents that God has given or entrusted us with. Verse number 10 is a very beautiful verse, very encouraging. I'm sure we have come across this verse quite a bit in the past. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We see such a contrast now from the foolish works. We see that the righteous are running to the strong tower, the name of the Lord. So we see safety, security, protection. We see that we are set on high. So in Psalms 18, which is also repeated in 2 Samuel 22, we see David saying, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior who will save me from violence." So David is testifying of the Lord being his rock. And in also 2 Samuel 22 and verse 33, he says, "God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect." So God is sufficient for all the saints. You know, this verse is really encouraging for believers. You know, we can take rest when we are weary. We can take sanctuary when we are pursued. And this is a picture we see in the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. When someone accidentally kills someone else, they can flee into one of these cities and take refuge. So that is the picture we see. So when we need help, we can run to these places. We can run to God's place. And, you know, the all sufficiency comes from God. He is our strong tower. We can run and be safe in him. We will be lifted above our enemies and we'll be fortified against them. So the strength of the tower is enough to protect believers. So this is a picture of a security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much do we take advantage of it? Are we fleeing to God when we need help? Do we know that he is the only place that we can find refuge? By prayer and devotion, we can run to God and find in him a city of refuge. We can take comfort and we can rest in his promises. So this is also a picture of us retiring from this world and resting in the Lord for eternity. And that is also the hope of a believer, where we will run from this worldly toils that we are in and be in his presence where we can rest for eternity. It's a beautiful picture of this, of what it means to take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, the rich man's wealth is a strong city and like a wall in his own esteem. So for a rich man, he's imagining that the high walls is going to protect him. You know, this is a false hope that he has. He's resting in his own wealth. Little does he know that this is a deceitful defense for a rich man. So his portions are all the things of this world. So we see the contrast here. As believers, we trust in God. We trust in his saving grace. But for a rich man, he is trusting in the city that he lives in. His wealth is his confidence. So he's making wealth his city and dwelling in it. Little does he know that that's going to hurt him. He is thinking that the high walls is going to protect him. But a lot of the times the high walls can be scaled and people or the enemies can come over and conquer. Job says in chapter 31 of Job and verse 24, "If I have made gold my hope or said to find gold, you are my confidence." And then we read in verse 28, "This would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above." So we see the folly of people who take trust or trust in their own self, in their own riches, hoping that that would save them. But little do they know that that is a false sense of security. Also in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 7, we see the fall of Babylon the Great. We see that the city, or you know, it's personified as a person. She glorified herself and lived in the same measure, giving torment and sorrow. In her heart, she thinks that I sit as a queen and I am no widow and will not see sorrow. But we see that in the end, she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So people who take refuge in their own strength, in their own glory, will be like these people. You know, they have destruction waiting for them. So we see the contrast between those verses that believers, we can run to the Lord, and then we see people who are trusting in their own self, hoping that, that would save them. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So here we see a person who is prideful, all they have is just destruction waiting for them. And a person who's humble will have honor. So pride leads to downfall, and humility leads to honor. It's very clear in these verses. Verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So here's a person who's answering before he is even listening or understanding what he is hearing. So exposing oneself too quickly to gain applause, taking pride in being too quick. So this is kind of a rude behavior. It is foolish to talk about things that you don't understand. It is foolish to not be patient enough to understand first what is being asked of, but rather talking before you know it. So that is the picture of a foolish person. Verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Enduring sickness, but surviving a broken spirit. You know, having a good conscience, conduct, and courage will help us with reason and resolution. For a believer, the Spirit of God helps us in such days of trouble. Wounded spirits cannot help themselves, nor can they help someone else. But it is wise to keep our conscience free from offense. Verse 15, the heart of a prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of a wise seeks knowledge. So here we see the mind of the discerning. A prudent will be seeking knowledge. They are willing to apply their ears and heart to pursue knowledge. They would never think that it is enough they have, but they would seek more knowledge. Their duty is to know God more and to know more on heavenly things. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him great men. So here we see the contrast between a man's gift and someone who is looking for bribes. He who is greedy will trouble his own house. We read that in Proverbs chapter 15. And he who hates bribes will live. So we cannot pervert justice. We cannot show partiality. We cannot take bribe, because the bribe will blind the eyes of the wise and twist the words of the righteous. So here we see the power of gifts. A good gift will go far, can fetch one's freedom. But on the contrast, taking bribes will bring downfall to a person. Verse 17, the first one to plead his own cause seemed right, until his neighbor comes and examines him. So here we see we need to know both sides of a story. Someone who thinks that their side is always right won't see the whole picture. Everything has to be seen on both sides before we can make a judgment call. So we should be wise enough to hear both sides of the story. Verse 18, casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. In the Old Testament times, casting lots was a common practice. It would render an impartial decision. It will separate powerful opponents when you have a casting lot. We know in the story, in the book of Joshua, Canaan was divided by lots. In Acts chapter 1, Matthias was selected by lots. In Jonah chapter 1, we see that when the trouble came, they cast lots to figure out who was the cause of the trouble. So casting lots was a common practice in the Old Testament times. It helps to reconcile, to bring peace in a situation. Verse 19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. So harder to reach, quarrels are like bars of a fortress. We have to take great care to prevent quarrels, especially among families and relationships, because that can cause resentments, which can go deep and far. So wisdom is needed And grace is needed in order to keep our ground, to be willing to forgive. On the contrast, if we are corrupted and selfish, it will hinder us from seeing the big picture. We know in the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau was greatly offended. But by prayer and the God's working in the life of Jacob, you know, he was won over. So definitely patience is needed, grace is needed to bring forth peace in a situation where we don't think we can resolve it. So we have to be careful to prevent such kind of quarrels. Make sure that we need wisdom in order to keep our ground, to bring peace in a situation, and to bring issues and make peace, especially among brothers, among families, in the house of God. Verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. We should take great care about the words that we speak. Again, these are things that has come up many times over in this chapter. Wholesome words versus unwholesome words. On one side, it brings pain. On the other side, it brings pleasure. So what are we trying to cultivate? What kind of words are we speaking? Ephesians 4 and 29, we read, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So we have to be careful that we do not let any unwholesome talk come from our mouths, but we should be willing to speak words that are helpful and building one another and benefiting those who are listening. So it is very important that we practice that. For that, we need wisdom. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, going with the verse before that, the words that we speak, it can bring a lot of effects on what we say. Matthew 12 and 37, we read, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Our words mean a lot. We can hurt people or we can build people up. We can bring justification or we can bring condemnation. We can bring death or we can bring life. So everything is included in the power of the tongue. So we have to be careful how we speak. What kind of words are we speaking? So for that, we need wisdom in order to speak wholesome words. Verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Again, another great reminder for each one of us. I don't think I can stress enough of a godly marriage. In today's times, we see so many marriages are failing, even among believers. Believers marrying unbelievers, people marrying outside the will of God. And then between believers, they're not able to stay together and trust in God. But rather, we see so many breakups, such painful moments, and things are going from bad to worse. But this verse talks about a good wife is a great blessing to a man, a wife that is sought after with much prayer and care. You know, we see the blessings of a godly marriage. You know, when we look at marriages that we can look among ourselves, we see so many examples of marriages. You know, a marriage can be difficult because you're bringing two people together who might have different backgrounds, different upbringings, convictions. But when we come together, we have to realize that God has brought us together. We need to stay together. It is a shadow of the of Christ and the church. And a lot of the times we see such painful separation. So I cannot stress enough of the need for people who are in that plans of getting married to really pray with convictions and pray with the desire to please God. And God will provide. And that goes with a man or a woman, that we seek the Lord and seek his counsel in order to enter into a fruitful, godly marriage. And I I think this is a very good reminder for that. Verse 23, the poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A poor man is pleading, but the rich is answering rough. Poverty can be beneficial because it can make one person humble and submissive. It can prevent pride. When we look at the, as we all look or come to the throne of grace as believers, we are all poor in the eyes of God. So it is foolish to think that our riches can make one to speak harshly. So we need to speak words of humility, words of submission, and bring forth words that are beneficial. And that is what God is seeking from us. So a poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A rich will think just because he is rich that he can talk harshly, but that doesn't work in the long run. Verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. To cultivate friendship, we have to show ourselves to be friendly. We must love, make all attempts not to quarrel, be very welcoming, and serve one another with grace and humility. You know, that is how we foster friendship, even among our families, in our church, in our community. To be friendly, we have to practice friendship. By doing that, we will bring people together. So we have to show love, make all attempts to be graceful and not quarrel, and be very welcoming. So with that, we have completed this chapter. May God help us to continue to seek wisdom for these things that we were talking. And as we continue this book, I hope and pray that each of these verses will remind us of our obligations as believers to seek God's wisdom, to live life on earth, to bring glory and honor to his name. May his name be glorified.